Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Open phones if you want to be on the show, 406-294-0970. No guests planned. I've got no sound bites, nothing. Just me, a couple of pieces of paper here, and the callers. We do have, I think, the House Speaker Brandon Lear is going to be coming on during the 9 o'clock hour, hopefully to give us some updates about the absolute disaster going on there up in Helena. Gene in Belgrade sent in a message. Who are the Nasty Nine? We've been talking about the Nasty Nine because the last night, the Nasty Nine and the Democrats passed this blowout spending bill, $16.6 billion, putting us on a path towards almost a billion-dollar deficit by 2029. Gene, the Nasty Nine rhinos are Josh Kassmeier, Fort Benton, Bruce Gillespie, Etheridge, Greg Hunter, Glasgow, Gail Lammers, Hardin, Denley Loge, St. Regis, Wendy McCamey, Great Falls, Russ Temple, Chester, Shelly Vance, Belgrade. So there you go, Gene, there's yours. Shelly Vance, Belgrade, Gene in Belgrade. One of these Nasty Nine Republicans that's turned the Montana legislature over to the Democrats to totally put an end to all of our Republican policies and to instead pass these Democrat priorities of massive spending, no tax cuts. So Gene in Belgrade, this is your senator, Shelly Vance out of Belgrade. And then, of course, Jason Ellsworth. And of course, these Nasty Nine have been formally censored by the Montana GOP. What's also crazy is the Montana Free Press actually reports that one of the Nasty Nine, Kassmeier, has routinely carried bills in both this session and the last session on behalf of Governor Greg Gianforte. And that's right out of the Montana Free Press story. Senator Kassmeier, one of the Nasty Nine, has routinely carried bills in this and the last session on behalf of Governor Greg Gianforte. And these Nasty Nine last night voted repeatedly, over and over and over again in lockstep with the Democrats to defeat every single one of the Republican leadership in the Senate's amendments to the budget. Every one of them, over and over again, lockstep with the Democrats, defeating not just any Republican amendment to these, but the Republican leaders' amendments. So these are straight up Democrats. Let's go to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, thanks so much for calling.
So I guess the next shoe to drop is going to be the interim committee makeup. So years ago, one day I drove up to Helen. I says, you know, if your Republicans in charge, be in charge. And sort of that sort of when they put Republicans as committee chairs, and the makeup of the committee actually was.
Kevin, do you have a few like a minute or two? I'm an amateur. I took you on right before the break. If you could hold for us, and I apologize. I shouldn't have taken your call right before the break. I got the music in my ear. 10 seconds of the commercial break. Kevin, I think this is an important call because you're talking about the interim committees. Also something to talk about, the free conference committees. I'll be interested to hear more from Kevin and Billings right after this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Patty Marin, an angel mom whose daughter was brutally and tragically killed by an illegal immigrant who'd been allowed to stay in this country for too long, was brought into the White House briefing room to talk about her horrible experience. And Fox News carried it live. MSNBC and CNN did not. And that brought a denunciation from the likes of White House Communications Chief Stephen Chung and Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, who said they don't care about human life. They wouldn't even talk about it. In other words, not only did they not take it live, maybe that was the right decision, maybe it wasn't, but they didn't even mention that she had come into the briefing room. That, to me, is legitimate criticism, but it's also an editorial decision. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Donald Trump's America.
A federal judge in D.C. says there is probable cause to hold Trump administration officials in criminal contempt for the willful disregard of court orders. Judge James Boasberg still wants answers about deportation flights of accused Venezuelan gang members he ordered to turn around. The administration is also challenging another judge's ruling in Maryland that the government facilitate the return of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a Maryland migrant from El Salvador who the Justice Department says is a member of the MS-13 gang.
Nothing will change the fact that Abrego Garcia will never be a Maryland father. He will never live in the United States of America again.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says the administration is complying with all court orders. The lower court also blocked the deportation of more than 500,000 migrants granted temporary protected status during the Biden administration. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're live. We're taking phone calls on Good Friday, 406-294-0970. Right now, we're talking to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, thanks for hanging with us.
So years ago, it used to be that the interim committees would have chairmanships, and they would have a rotational basis. 1 year, Democrats would have the chairmanship, and the next interim, the Republicans. And I think I recall I went up there one day, and I said, "Hey, if you Republicans are in charge, be in charge." And so I think then they went and put, if you're the makeup of the legislature was Republican or Democrat, but then it was Republican, well, then the Republicans took the chairmanships, and then they didn't share equally as the makeup on the committee. It used to be equal numbers of Republicans, equal number of Democrats. But then I think they put, you know, a reflection of the makeup of the legislature. There's so more Republicans than Democrats. In the old days, they used to have all these interim fights because the interim bills couldn't get out of committee because it was just an equal vote. So Democrats would vote yes, Republicans vote no. Bill would never move forward. But then,
that sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Well, but now what's going to be interesting is, are they going to demand these rule changes and go back to the old interim hearing makeup with third chairmanships, regardless of who controlled the legislature?
I think, either that or they just put some of these quote-unquote Republicans on that are actually Democrats. It's the same effect, right?
Well, it'll be the same effect, but more concerning is this the chairmanships.
Oh, okay.
And how that works out.
That's a good point. So when will we know, or how will we know what they're going to do with that?
Well, it'll be after the legislature, you know, finishes the session. You know, then they're going to start this interim committee makeup process, and that'll happen sometime in the first part of June.
Okay, well, we'll pay attention to that. Thanks so much for the heads up on that, Kevin in Billings. Appreciate it. What it reminds me of is the absurdity of the fact that we had a super majority in the Republican legislature last session, and yet the redistricting commission was 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans. Why? Why? Why would we ever have any kind of commission or committee or anything set up where you've got more Democrats on it than Republicans when the Republicans have a massive majority in the legislature? This whole idea, well, let's make it bipartisan, let's do half Republicans and half Democrats. What? That's not fair. If Montana's 65% Republican, why would you have a 50-50 interim committee, free conference committee, redistricting committee? Doesn't matter what it is. It should all be based on a reflection of the people's will. What do the people want? We don't want Democrat majorities. Whether it's the redistricting commission, the free conference committee, the interim committees, or the entire stinking legislature, we don't want a Democratic majority. But unfortunately, that's what we've got. Let's go to Jerry in Helena. Jerry, thanks for calling.
You bet, David. Good to be on. I was just calling in to visit some about what I think was Tat from Sydney had to say about elections and only being able to affect the House in regards to mass denying. And fortunately, that's not true, because Esp and Gillespie are termed out after this session. Vance and McCamey are up for re-election. before the next session. So the people of those Senate districts can certainly get involved and find solid candidates that if those districts are conservative, they have a responsibility to put forward a conservative. And certainly these four out of the nine have demonstrated that they're anything but that, as they conspired with the Democrats here this session.
So you're saying for four out of these nine senators, they're either termed out and there's going to be an open primary, or there's the potential to primary them here in 2026?
Exactly. Aspen Gillespie are termed out, and so those will be open primaries, or open seats, so they're not going to be running against an incumbent. And Shelley Vance and Wendy McKinney are both up for re-election. So, voters of Montana, voters of those districts, citizens, get busy.
Amen to that. Good information. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. That's fantastic information to have, especially because we had a caller out of Belgrade asking about the identity of the Nasty Nine, and one of them is a Belgrade. So, Gene in Belgrade, if you're still listening, I didn't know that your senator there is up for reelect, and so you've got a chance to do a primary there. Let's go. Let's see. Do we have enough time? I don't know where we're at on the clock. Perry in Columbus, thanks for calling in.
Good morning, David. It's a pleasure to be on. You are my favorite guest host for holding down the big chair.
Thank you so
much. You have passion, and that's important, because what we need to do right now as the electorate in Montana is exercise some passion and some commitment in getting control of our legislative people and our judiciary choices. It's an old saying that you get the government you deserve. Well, we better wake up and smell the coffee, because we deserve better, but we have to get out of our stupor and go do it and kick these people to the curb.
Well said. Well said.
I understand, I understand. One more thing, just real. We have our county commissioners in Stillwater County. It should be one of the reddest counties in Montana. We had two out of three of them are walk into office claiming to be a Republican and then govern as a Democrat county commissioners. And this is something that it's too easy to have happen to you if you're not paying attention. And the only way is to dial down the apathy and get involved. And this is a message for everybody who sees the disaster that's going on right now and wants to help fix it. Well, this is how you fix it. I know that we're people that are too busy rowing the boat to have time to rock it.
Amen.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Do you feel like you're spending too much for your cell phone plan? Well, a lot of plans from major wireless providers can be rather costly, but there are things you can do to lower the expense. In terms of unlimited data plans, you need to ask yourself if you actually need to use that much data per month. Whether you're shopping for a phone plan at a new company or sticking with your current provider, opting for a plan with limited high-speed data is a great way to save. And perhaps consider a mobile virtual network operator like Mint Mobile or Visible, which both offer cheaper plans by operating on the networks of larger carriers. And it might seem like you'll be paying a hefty price for multiple lines. However, with many plans, you'll get a significant discount for having two or more lines for family plans. And check to see if you qualify for additional discounts. Many major wireless providers may offer special deals for members of the military, teachers, and seniors, and there might be discounts available through your employer. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer found himself in a particularly tough position recently as he testified before the House Ways and Means Committee. As Greer testified, President Trump announced he was now pausing most tariffs for 3 months, but still imposing steep tariffs on China. Democratic Nevada Representative Steve Horsford was apoplectic. He announced it over a tweet. Asked an incredulous Horsford of Greer, WTF, who's in charge? The President of the United States is in charge, offered Greer. And what do you know about those details, countered Horsford. It looks like your boss just pulled the rug out from under you. Horsford later asked if what the president executed was market manipulation. Greer said it wasn't. So when the hearing adjourned, yours truly pursued Greer to get more clarity on the president's new strategy. Quote, were you not told about this? I asked Greer. I'll just refer you to my testimony, said Greer. Your testimony did not reflect what was implemented during the hearing, I followed up. Greer then disappeared down a winding staircase in the Longworth House office building and left. with the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Great call from Perry the Poet out of Columbus. And well said, Perry. And, we really, really, really have to pay close attention to these quote-unquote Republican candidates in primaries in Montana, because it's obviously becoming a big issue, and it's very obvious what's happening. These Democrats, these leftists, they understand that they don't have the support of the people. The people of the Montana do not support left-wing Democrats or their causes or policies. And so what they do is they say, okay, I'll just run as a Republican. I'll just pretend to be a Republican. I'll run a fraudulent, lying campaign and run as a Republican. I'll get elected as a Republican, and then I'll just go serve as a Democrat. That's very, very clearly happening. These are leftists. These are liberal Democrats that are running as Republicans in Montana, whether it's the two county commissioners in Stillwater that Perry mentioned, which I'm not familiar with, or whether it's the Nasty Nine, or whether it's some other folks, too, maybe we don't want to mention here too loudly. Let's go to Tim in Savage. Tim, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, David. Dark clouds over eastern Montana right now. It's kind of a cold and cool day. And I'm reflecting back on this past week, Holy Week. On Palm Sunday, we acknowledge the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Everybody is throwing their cloaks and palm branches on the ground, shouting Hosanna and welcoming him. And those are the exact same people who were shouting Crucify him a few days later. We've got people who say one thing and do another, and turncoats have been part of our history dating all the way back to the time of Jesus and before that even. The one truth that we can hang on to is that we live in the greatest country in the world, and we serve the greatest Savior ever, Jesus Christ. And on this Good Friday, we acknowledge that he gave of himself to die for our sins to give us eternal salvation. So as Jeff said earlier in his legislative update, we know that Sunday is coming. We just need to hang on. We'll get through the darkness, and there will be a sunrise that is going to be glorious and beautiful. And so as we wrap up our Holy Week and our Lenten journey, I wish everybody just to have the wonderful Resurrection Sunday coming here in a couple of days, and know that we are protected by God in all things.
What a heartwarming call. Thank you so much, Tim in Savage. Fantastic call. Great, great legislative update as well. And you're so right. You're so right. And let me just here confess my sins and repent and say that I also am just so looking forward to Sunday and celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's absolutely something to be positive about. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what the Democrats do in Helena or D.C. or anywhere else. The thing that they can never do and the thing that they can never impact is your faith, your ability to confess your sins and repent, your ability to believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They can never take that away. They can never take away anything like that from you. And so that's absolutely something positive to think about as we sit here on Good Friday as the legislature up there in Helena with a bunch of fraudsters and scam artists pretending to be Republicans pass blowout 18% increases in spending. There's definitely stuff to be happy about and positive about. Amen to that. Let's go to Mike in Bozeman. Mike, thanks for calling.
I wanted to make a comment following the remark here a couple callers ago about we get the government that we deserve. That is a cliche that has been around so long, and it has been so worn out and is no longer applicable when you have the Biden administration come into power and take the Democrat Party totally in the direction of lying and deception about all aspects of policies that they believe in and support and what they talk about. The fact of the matter is that in this day and age, at this point in time, we, citizenry, who are constitutionalists, have got to just assume that anything with a Democrat letter in front of it means bald-faced liar, and be prepared to deal with bald-faced lies and liars in anything and everything they talk about, say, and do. So these nasty nine that we got up there, can't Gene Forte veto whatever it is that gets passed out of
the nasty nine are the ones carrying the governor's bills.
Maybe they're carrying them, but can't he vote them? Can't he veto them? They aren't laws yet, are they?
He does have the power. He does have the power of the veto. Yes.
Well, that's what he better use, because those SOBs have got to be stopped. Because I voted straight Republican this last time around, and was believing in and confident in that my Republican legislature was going to be just as strong or stronger and as good or better than it was last time around, and it isn't. So Governor Jim Forte better veto anything and everything that is not in line with what he put forward and what the rest of us conservative Republicans supported and voted for.
100% agree. 100% agree. And I hope it happens. I 100% agree with everything you just said. Fantastic call. Here's the other thing Governor Gianforte needs to veto. He needs to veto the Indigenous Peoples Day on Columbus Day. The attack on Columbus Day needs to be vetoed. This is, and you know, here's the thing. I like that call, because I think it applies not just to, hey, if there's a Democrat, just assume everything they're saying is lying. They're lying. That applies to the mainstream media as well. If you hear something on the mainstream media, you got to assume it's a lie and then kind of go from there. But also, apparently, we're now at a point where we have to just assume that that Republicans are Democrats, right? I mean, especially in these primaries. And so I still sort of believe that, like, the citizens and the voters need to be paying attention and need to be, making informed choices at the ballot box, and that, you know, if you're upset with what's going on in the government, you know, it's easy to blame the politicians, but you can also sort of blame the voters, et cetera, et cetera. But when you've got literal frauds running as Republicans and fraudulently scamming the voters and saying, hey, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, and then the voters vote for them, and then they're actually like communists or Democrats or Marxists or whatever the heck these nasty nine are, you know, you can sort of forgive the voters. So now it's gone to the point where it's like, no, okay, not only do we have to assume that all the Democrats are lying, and not only do we have to assume that all the Republicans are lying about being Republicans, but now we have to sort of investigate these people in primaries to actually see if everything they're saying on the trail is just complete garbage, which, frankly, maybe we should have been doing from the beginning. Let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, thanks for calling.
Well, I'm enjoying your program this morning, and between you and Aaron, it's a toss-up of who's the best announcer on the radio.
Thank you, Clint.
I really like what you're saying, but I got two things.
But Clint, don't you think I'm a little bit too passionate?
No, I think there ought to be more people in the world like you.
Thanks.
To be passionate about their government and their people and things like that, whether it be Republican or Democrat or state or whatever, everybody should, you know, practice, you might say, what they preach.
Right.
But the thing I'm called about this morning is this. I got one question, and I want to talk about the fire deal here at Four Corners here in Bozeman. The first thing I want to say or ask, I want to ask the people and all these smart guys that call in, how much more money is the legislature going to cost us taxpayers this year? That's the question.
A lot. That'd be my answer.
Okay. Now, the next thing I want to know, we have various different levies to make for fire, and for fire apparatuses, fire stations, and things like that. We have four going on. Well, there's three fire stations here at Four Corners right now, and they're building a new one. a great big one here in the North Star subdivision. Now, we're going to have firehouses. We got three of them that's working now. And within, they're within about 400 yards of each other. Now, us taxpayers out here have paid for these here, and I'm kind of wondering how much more Gallatin County can charge us taxpayers out here for more fire stations and one thing or another. You know, we're taxed to death here in Gallatin County. You know, we really are. And the people here, I'm 90 years old, going on 91, and I've watched this county just grow and grow and grow, and it seems like the more growth you have, the more taxes you would collect and not have to pay us older guys that made this country, you might say. It's awful what's happening, and these county commissioners don't realize about the people who's on fixed incomes out here in the city of Bozeman. See, the city paying county tax as well as the city tax, and besides all other kinds of taxes in there, and it's making the people of Bozeman, lots of them, having to sell their homes and leave.
I've talked to a few of them like that,
and it's terrible, and they've been here most all their lives.
That's incredibly sad.
It's really sad here, and this legislature of ours, I've been there many, many times, many years, and I've watched the Democrats and the Republicans. What you've got here is they don't sit down with each other.
Hey, Ken, I think we're coming up against the break here. Can you hang on for a second?
Yes, I will.
All right, let me put you on hold. I think we've got 5 seconds left. I'm not hearing the bumper music, but I think we're up against the break here. If you hear the thing right now. Oh, okay. Now I figured it out. The countdown actually counts down to the bumper music. All right. No, Clint's making some good points here, and I think he's got some really good points. One thing I would say, I guess my initial thought, and then we'll come back after the break and go right back to Clint. It's the spending. It's the Bozeman and the Gallatin County spending. Because when they give all that growth and they do these new subdivisions, they require the developers to pay these massive fees. But yet they're still taxing everybody out the wazoo.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Clint in Bozeman about how the fact that Bozeman and Gallatin County have grown massively, grown immensely over the last decade or two, and they charge the developers massive fees to bring in new developments. And instead of using all of that money they're generating to offset property taxes for longtime residents like Clint and others, instead they're just blowing out the spending and then raising taxes on people like Clint. So, Clint, thanks for being here and sticking with us through the break.
Well, thank you. Well, the thing that's happened to us here, if here between the Four Corners and Bozeman, there's a road called the Huffine Lane, named after a rancher here. And what's happening there, there's 3- and 4-story buildings that's being built. And them people that are building them, if they're financed mostly by, there's a few banks that finance, but most of it's corporate money from back east that's financing them. And what has happened here is all these people that are building these buildings pay for the sewer hookups. They pay for everything the builders do.
Right. It doesn't cost the city anything.
Nothing. Yet our taxes, instead of passing some of the taxes on to these bigger buildings and stuff like that, they come in and raise our mill levies they have that. And then we have every 2 years we have reappraisal. And what's happening, they're taxing those people that built this country plumb out of here. And I've got friends of mine that's left. That built this country, you understand? That has left this valley because of the taxes. And it's terrible. And I don't know what we're going to do here, but I do know one thing for sure. If it keeps going the way it is, they'll have revolution on the taxes.
Right.
They will.
Oh, yeah.
People can't stand it anymore. So that's about all I got to say, and I really enjoy your program. And Aaron, too, and it's statewide, and it's wonderful that the people of Montana get to hear the actual truth about what's really happening.
Well, and it's great that people get to hear from you too, Clint, and what's really happening there in Bozeman. And well said. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. It's like, here's the deal. You're never going to be able to get tax decreases with massive spending increases. And it's the same at the federal level as it is at the state and the city and the county level. We don't have a problem with government tax revenues. The government is taking in more money than they've ever dreamed possible. We do not have a tax revenue problem. The issue is you can't cut taxes, property taxes. And remember, property taxes are a little bit different than income taxes, because when you cut property taxes, I don't think you see the same sort of economic benefit that you do when you cut income taxes, although you still do see an increase in economic growth when you cut property taxes, because that's now money that's in private hands instead of the government hands, and obviously it can be used much more efficiently and for economic growth in private hands, where it's just wasted and a drag on GDP growth in the government's hands. But that being said, you're never going to be able to cut taxes and cut tax revenues when the state government is increasing spending at 18% in the general fund, according to Senator Carl Glynn, and when the cities and the counties are massively increasing their spending as well. I've mentioned this before, but I went through a leadership program here in Billings, and we had the Billings, like, was city manager, mayor, city council people all come to us. You know, and this was back a year or two ago when property taxes were still a hot button issue. And I raised my hand and I asked them, I said, hey, does the city have any plans to try to cut spending and reduce spending to try to give some of the city of Billings homeowners or in property owners a break on property taxes? You know what the answer was? The answer was no, and we're mad that we can't increase spending more. We're limited. We're limited at increasing spending only 6% a year or blah, blah, whatever the limit was, or we can only increase mills at this or that. That was the response I got. And look what's going on in Helena. They're increasing spending. They've got a budget surplus up there that they're just spending. They've got billions and billions of dollars in Helena that's our money, that they overtaxed us, and they're not giving it back to us. They're just using it for their little pet project so that they can act cool and, oh, I got $100 million for this, and I got $100 million. That's my money, and I want it back. How about that, legislators up in Helena? Quit wasting my money. Quit blowing it out on your little pet project so that you can go back to your little district and walk around and act all high and mighty and cool that you blew out spending $100 million on this or that and increased general fund spending by 18% and property taxes are going up. And you got people like Clint in Bozeman, who's 90 years old, who's going to get taxed out of his house. He's lived there his entire life, and now he can't even afford to live there because of what the legislators in Helena are doing, what the city council people are doing, what these county commissioners are doing all across this state. How do these people sleep at night when you hear calls like that from Clint? Unbelievable. Let's go to Steve in Clarkston. Steve, thanks for calling.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't know why people don't get it, but when you loan money into existence, you have to create more money in order to get what you got going down the road. And so December 23rd, midnight, 1913, two congressmen stayed back and voted in the Federal Reserve Act. It ain't federal, and they don't have any reserve. They are taxing you, and they raise, I mean, I remember when a gallon of gas was 17 cents. Now look what you got to do. And as long as these money changers are in the control of the money system, you have to keep raising the dollar devalue. So in order to keep up with the spending, you got to raise the taxes and all the other stuff. So until we get the money system in this country straightened out, you know, I remember where I was sitting when John Kennedy was killed. And he was going to fix this system. He was pulling us out of Vietnam, out of war, which raises more expenses. He was doing away with the Federal Reserve. He was doing a whole bunch of other stuff that got him killed. And the American people were sat on their ass and didn't do anything about it. We're still sitting on our ass. And these money changers are running the world. And anyway, there's going to be a come-to-Jesus moment here one of these days. And I don't know, we're sending our troops all over the world so that our corporations can rob and plunder the world. Something's got to change. And it ain't going to be pretty. And until people figure out this money system that we've got, you're going to keep having the same problems.
Well, totally disagree about the attack on the U.S. military and the attack on America there, and saying we're going around the world plundering places. No, we're not. We never took Iraq's oil. Sorry, man. We just didn't. We don't do that. And then the whole thing about it's all the money systems and the money changes. It's like, dude, no, it's because Congress has spent $37 trillion of money they don't have, and they're blowing out $2 trillion deficits every year. We wouldn't have these inflation problems, and you wouldn't have the value of the dollar losing 99% of its value over the last 100 years if you didn't have trillions and trillions and trillions of new printed dollars. And so, I mean, I think if you just fix the spending, which I think you wouldn't have the inflation problems, you wouldn't have these money problems, and then but attacking the U.S. and our military for sending troops around the world to plunder other places is just total garbage, total lies. Let's go to Kevin in Belgrade. Kevin, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Hey, great rant there just a few minutes ago. I basically sent the same thing in an email to House District 68 Representative Caleb Hinkle and asked him, you know, we have the biggest surplus of money. We want it back.
Exactly.
You know, give it back to the taxpayers. We gave you that money through taxes. I have never paid so much in taxes in my life as I did in 2024.
Same. Yep. Absolutely, yeah, same.
It's outrageous. Outrageous. And these nine up there that are Democrats, basically, just have an R in front of their name. One of them, our representative from Gallatin Valley, she was primaried by a gentleman who I know is a very conservative Republican person.
Are you talking about Representative Gillette? Are you talking about Gillette?
No, not Gillette. Shelley Vance.
Oh, okay. Hey, Kevin, if you can hang with us through the break here, we got to take a quick break, but I want to let you finish there. No, it's interesting. I think you're making a great point, and obviously we're on the same page, and I think it'd be real interesting to go back and take a real close look at some of those primaries that happened last year, including in the Shelley Vance primary. But, Kevin, if you'll stick with us, come right back, and then we're going to Matt and Jeff right after that.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Rachel Morin was a Marylander, as was this other woman, Kayla Hamilton, and they should still be here with their families. Rachel's five children and her mother will never see their mother again or their daughter again. And idiots like this, as far as I'm concerned, they all have blood on their hands because he sat by idly and silently as Joe lied to the country, Kamala lied to the country, Mayorkas lied to the country, Chris Ray allowed them to break the laws. It was systemic law breaking, and this is the result of it. And we're going to feel it probably for the next decade at least.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. That comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There is precedent for national leaders doing exactly the opposite of what economic theory and practice suggests. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was convinced that the recipe for combat inflation was to lower interest rates in 2021, exactly the opposite of what every other country was doing. After 2 years of 40% annual inflation, he finally reversed course. Cynicism and distrust of experts and elites does not make those experts wrong. The overwhelming majority of economists oppose the sweeping tariff regime being rolled out at warp speed by the Trump administration. The opposition is strongest by the economists who are most qualified to comment on international trade. And we ignore them all for exactly what reason? Because we have mustered together a group of contrarian economists who tell us exactly what we want to hear? Economists whose public utterances on how tariffs, taxes, and trade deficits actually work are dubious at best and in most cases demonstrably faulty? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Kevin in Belgrade. Let's see, line three. Kevin, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead and finish what you're saying, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so the only thing that I wanted to finish up with is Shelley was primaried in this last election by, I'm going to go ahead and say his name because I really want him to run again and I want him to beat her soundly, Kyle McMurray. And hopefully he will get out there and we'll get more support for him. I know he had a lot of support. Shelley Vance didn't win that election by very much. And I think, this last election was just a chance for Kyle to get his name out there.
Well, everybody
recognizes.
Yeah, he certainly did. And in fact, I remember him actually coming on Montana Talk. So anyway, Kevin, appreciate the phone call. I'm going to try to sneak through two more calls here before the 9 o'clock hour. Let's go to Matt in my hometown of Manhattan, Montana. Matt, thanks for calling.
Matt, are you there now?
Matt, are you there now?
I'm here.
All right.
You got me?
Yep, now I got you.
Hey, I was just wondering if there's a way to bypass Helena on certain situations in certain states. There's a proposition system or initiative system that can be put on the ballot and have all the people vote for that could be for property taxes or income taxes. And then Helena, basically have it vetted by a legal team and then have it submitted and put on the ballot to determine our own fate and not leave it to the people in Helena to do it.
Is
there such a system that you know of?
Yeah, there is. It's exactly what you said, which is an initiative. It's a citizens initiative. Now, you have to have a lot of money and resources to do those, to get the signature gatherers, and only the Democrats have donors that are willing to pay for that kind of stuff, unfortunately. So like last year they had signature gatherers everywhere for abortion. We love abortion. Yeah, signature gatherers for abortion. But you know what? There was not a single signature gatherer out there for pro-life. Because guess what? Nobody's paying for signature gatherers for pro-life, but there's lots and lots of people paying for signature gatherers for abortion. So we need people that are willing to put their resources behind these citizens' initiatives. We need people that are willing to volunteer on these things because all of the signature gatherers in Montana, all these initiatives and constitutional initiatives, they're always left-wing causes because the left is willing to put their money where their mouth is, and unfortunately, a lot of people on the right with money aren't. Let's go to Jeff in Polson. Jeff, thanks for calling. Oh, are you there? Are you there, Jeff?
What about now?
I'm here.
All right, go ahead, Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, Montana. And my question talks around the Republican Party leadership. In the military, we learned what leadership is, and it's basically telling people, getting them to do a certain thing. And I guess in the Republican Party here in the state and at Governor Gianforte's level, I don't see Don Kellschmidt doing anything to get these nasty nine in line. I don't see Governor Gianforte doing anything to rein them in, to tell them. So where is the leadership of the Republican Party in this area?
Don K did censor them and said we no longer recognize them as Republicans. So I think the party itself and Don K, they've done something. But I think I agree with you. I'm not aware of any criticism of the Nasty Nine by our governor. I haven't heard any. Have you?
No, I haven't. And, the first thing a leader does, this is what I was trying to say earlier, first thing a leader does is look to himself when there's a problem. How did I contribute to this? And that's what I haven't heard Don Kellschmidt or Governor Gianforte say. How have I contributed to this? And what are we going to do differently now? Yeah, they got censored, and so what? They're still there. They're still voting. They may have trouble next term, but this term, they're doing just fine. And so that's my problem is there's no consequences for what they're doing.
Right, and it's kind of like the old saying, the buck stops here. Well, is there anybody up there in Helena that's willing to say the buck stops here?
This is House Call for Health. The Food and Drug Administration is warning patients and doctors about the rise of counterfeit Ozempic on the market, despite the fact that a shortage on the popular weight loss drug is over. The agency issued a notice Monday urging pharmacies and consumers to check their Ozempic prescriptions to make sure they are authentic. This comes after the FDA says it seized several hundred units of counterfeit versions of the popular diabetes and weight loss drug. The maker of Ozempic and Wegovy, Novo Nordisk, told the FDA earlier this month that counterfeit injections were being sent outside its authorized supply chain in the U.S. Novo Nordisk is encouraging users to double-check the prescriptions, lot, and serial numbers. The FDA says it's aware of at least 6 adverse event reports linked to the counterfeit-related lot. The agency and Novo Nordisk are testing the fake products to identify whether they're safe. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.